All right, that's weird. Just swore I had a volume control. Oh, there it is.
Technical difficulties.
Huh?
I said you had it up too loud?
A little, yeah. Just a hair. You know, for some reason, I was having issues, we're still having issues, getting Lisa's mic to work down there. I turned it on the camera, and there's two different settings for the camera. I turned on each one, and it still wouldn't freaking take. But it would light up like it was taking. So yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense to me. Well, you know, we are doing a new show, brand new for Thursdays for us, and I guess technical difficulties are always going to be around the corner.
Difficulties.
Kind of like last night.
Last night
we couldn't get a camera to work.
So you were black screen with microphones.
I didn't have anything.
No.
I'll look at you with the moving background and everything.
Huh?
I said, look at you with the moving background and everything. The waves like going.
Oh, I
can
change that.
Yeah.
Oh, now it's blue.
Oh, he had it changing all different colors earlier.
Yeah.
It's a shame it can't be rainbow. You know, that would be more 70s.
Yeah.
Not so much 80s. But
it kind of was more of a rainbow, but, you know, he did change it there.
Well, it wasn't the rainbows we have today. I mean, that's a different.
We get all kinds of different rainbows.
Yeah,
today,
that's what I mean. Like, I mean, back then, the rainbows on the shows and commercials were like different shades of red and orange, usually in the 70s.
Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple.
Yeah.
That was a whole different time. It was.
Sure was. It was the best decade in the world, the 70s, especially right in the middle, 75, because that was the year that the world was introduced to This Is Tom's World as a baby. And, you know, that's.
All right. Well, Lisa put, I know she can hear me. So if you're going to, like, say hello, Lisa, put it in the comments.
Put so it she in the can comments. Hear, she just can't speak.
Right. But when you type hello, put it in the comments chat.
Not the private
chat.
Yeah, I told you to use private to communicate with us.
You'll have to hit join the chat and then connect and all that stuff.
She should be able to have it right there.
I feel like this is like a 70s and 80s type thing. Like we should have done like the 80s intro for everybody, like where you're looking off camera and then you go.
The 80s Brady Bunch, huh?
Oh, I love the 80s. They actually were. That was my favorite decade.
I have to admit, I think later 80s, whenever I was more of an adult to where I could go and participate in things without having parents' permission, but still young enough to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah. See, that for me was the 90s, so the 80s were more innocent for me.
Same here.
I'm sorry. You know, Joe's older than farts, and I'm older than dust.
Whatever.
So I'm the young guy here?
I was still in school totally through the 80s. I didn't graduate until 1990.
Well, I graduated in 93.
I was 89. Here's the thing. It goes Joe, Lisa, me. And then whatever way between you two.
I'm the youngest, I guess.
He's the youngest.
Okay.
49 years old. I'm the youngest in the chat.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
I like that. I'm the oldest one. Well, in Fear Fans, I'm not the oldest one because, like, I have somebody else there with me. but outside of him, I'm the oldest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. You're the one, Tom, that brought up fear and stuff. But talking about let's say something about the horror movies compared today's horror movies to the 70s and 80s horror movies.
Today suck.
today's absolutely suck.
It's nothing but jump scares.
Well, see, here's what I'm. Okay. 4 hour generation, our age group, are today's horror movies, or are they not meeting up to our standards because of the amount of horror movies and genre that we absorbed over the years and became jaded to?
I think it's more that they
they have lost their luster and can't figure out how to do it.
They have. They've lost their luster. They're regurgitating stories. They're redoing stories and ruining
them. Oh, Lord, hell
they're,
yes.
And they rely heavily on jump scares and the technology instead of like the ones that we had, where you had to rely more on the psychological drama. You had to rely more on the slasher aspect. And it was,
there were a lot of slasher movies.
Well, God. That's like the one we're just talking about Tuesday. You know, look Critters. At the budget it was done on, and how well it was done.
Critters was one of the greatest. I mean, you got Critters, you got Trolls, you've got Hellraiser. Oh, Hellraiser was amazing. You know, when for the technology Critters, and stuff.
People were asking about Ghoulies too, which I brought up myself.
Got, yeah, you got Ghoulies.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they were great movies. The Puppet Master movies. I mean,
can you remember the studio that backed the Puppet Master movies?
It wasn't Full Moon.
Yes, it was.
Was it? Wow, Full Moon I can't Studios. Believe I got that.
And here's the weird part. Full Moon Studios was up and just running heavy and hard from the 80s through the 90s. And then all of a sudden they just kind of went gone.
Ouch.
You'll catch them every now and then with some movies that they're still backing, but no, they did that era is when they did them.
I'll be right back.
That era is when and with Full Moon being part of it, and they started out as more of a studio that was pushing towards like the B type movies and don't know who they are, actresses and actors and stuff. And then
they were the best.
And then bunch of the actors and actresses came up from that.
You know, the big thing that's missing today compared to then is imagination. Hollywood has none anymore. Rehashing stuff, redoing shit. Oh, let's turn this TV show into a movie. Or let's turn the movie into a TV series.
Right. Well, case in point.
Now, hang on. Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
A case in point. I mean, even though it's not 80s or 70s, is like the new Crow that's coming out. Why? The original Crow was great.
Yeah.
You know, and now they're redoing it with Bill Skarsgård or whatever the hell his name is that played Pennywise. It's like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, that's another one that I wasn't happy that they did is remaking
it.
You know, remaking it like they did.
Yeah, I mean, I love Tim Curry. He is one of my favorite
Tim Curry. I'll tell you right now, hands down, Tim Curry is one of the best actors out there for the genre and the amount and the different aspects and directions that man went and could go.
Oh yeah.
Looks like Lisa dropped off. I don't know what's going on there.
She got frustrated.
I was having trouble with it.
She can always
come up here. No, she could hear. She just couldn't talk.
Yeah.
But you know. Go ahead, Joe.
That whole thing there with like the Crow, you know. I mean, Brandon Lee died during that movie.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're going to do anything right, you got to at least find somebody that can pay homage to Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't do that with a lot of movies, especially it. I think that the actor that they got, you know, because Tim Curry, when he got that role, he owned it.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a made for TV movie, so they couldn't get real graphic, you know.
Yes.
But then again, they relied more on the psychological thriller aspect, which is what's missing today.
Agreed. Yeah, the psycho thrillers are what made the horror genre in the 80s.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some great movies in the 80s. But real quick, going back to The Crow, a little fun fact that I like to let people know on a lot of shows that I go on. So I actually have a direct relation to, or I used to one of the members of The Crow, Rochelle Davis, the young girl, the young blonde in the movie. She was a friend of mine for a number of years. I don't know, for whatever reason, she blocked me now. I don't know what I did, but... We were good friends. We hung out, you know, and had good times and stuff.
She raised in fame, and you didn't.
But she doesn't. She's not in it. That's the only thing she ever did, you know.
I did that.
No, but she was a down to earth person. She really was. She just
maybe she thought you had multiple personalities, Tom.
Boy,
with all the voices that you do.
Sometimes I have a bunch of different voices come out of me. Mm-hmm. I reckon. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, the horror movies of today suck. I haven't scared watching a movie or frightened watching a movie since the 80s, really. I mean, the 90s had some great movies too, but none of them scared me. You know, I wasn't like the anxiety level wasn't going up watching them.
Well, yeah, those movies in the 70s and 80s, they kept you right on the edge of your seat.
Oh, yeah.
Which
okay. I wouldn't know. I don't watch them.
Okay, here's a question for you then. In the 80s, which movie, I'd say more mid-70s through the 80s, which movie was the one that frightened you the most?
Oh, I know that. For me as a kid, it was The Exorcist. That thing scared the bejesus out of me when I was a kid.
I didn't watch that until I was in my teens.
Yeah, I was a single digits watching that, and I was scared out of my mind.
Oh, wow.
I think the whole thing of Videodrome fucked me up.
Videodrome is yeah.
That movie was just, and that ended up a cult classic.
Remember, Lisa, type in the regular comments, not the private. You're in private still, huh? Oh, Lisa's saying the blob didn't scare you?
but it was those other movies. You know, you had other movies out there. I mean, look, we had the Brat Pack.
And hang on. I didn't get to tell you mine.
Oh, yeah.
I was 8 years old, and my cousin took me to see Jaws.
Jaws.
And I see that at 8 years old.
That was a great movie.
And you gotta understand the aspect behind this. My mother never let me go to learn how to swim.
Oh, that's
never
right.
I don't know how to swim. My mother never let my brothers or my sisters teach me how.
And he grew up in California.
Yeah. And I grew up over there where we could go to the ocean any weekend we wanted to.
That sucks.
Yeah, I grew up in Wisconsin, and I had to learn how to swim the hard way. My uncle threw me in the pool.
That's how I learned. Out of not drowning. I didn't want to die, so that's how I learned how to swim.
For me, every summer, for the first half of the summer, I was going to swimming lessons at our local pool.
Oh, yeah. It's a good thing that I took Ashley, my youngest daughter, took her to the YMCA for swimming lessons.
Jaws came out in an awesome year, 1975.
Yeah.
Again, the year I was born.
I was only 3 years old.
See?
I don't know. But, you know, I liked my movies.
Oh, I love all movies.
I've been 8 and 75.
I was 8 and 75.
Wait, how can you be 8 and I can be 8 and 75? That don't work.
No, I know. I remember I was 8 years old whenever I went and seen Jaws. So I was born in 68. then I would have been
7 and 75.
7 and 75. My brain's not working today, by the way.
Mine never works.
I feel like I got sand in the gears.
What?
I said, I feel like I got sand in the gears.
You know, that's also, you know, besides you had all the breakfast,
breakfast. They were in Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink. 16 candles, and then you had St. Elmo's Fire.
Yep.
You know, you had a lot of great movies, and then you add in the fact that between the horror movies and some of those musicals that were out there, like Grease, the best place to watch them are becoming pretty rare these days was drive-ins, you know.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That is a classic. Actually,
that is
an absolute classic. Made.
Yes.
The Wall was another one.
Pink Floyd, The Wall. Yep. With Bob Geldof starring in that.
Yeah.
Going back to the drive-ins, I remember going to the drive-in with my family in our nice big station wagon. Blankets all in the back end, backed in, being able to see the movie from the back.
We went in a station wagon too, but the kids were on top of the station wagon on the roof. And all the adults were on the inside, and they were doing something. I don't know what they were doing, but you know, it was a good time. I remember seeing Caveman there, The Incredible Shrinking Woman, many movies.
Oh my God!
Yeah, this Ringo Starr.
Shelley Long, I think it was.
Lana Zug Zug
from Cheers.
Yep.
We had a van actually. We had a Chevy van.
It's a good thing Nick's not here. If you mentioned van and I'm here, he would start going off on the living in a van down by the river thing.
Living in a van down by the river.
And you're not going to amount to Jack Squat. You know. Of course, that was the 90s. That's, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, and then and another thing that the 70s and the 80s has had that we don't have today is the great muscle cars.
Yeah. Saturday morning cartoons.
Saturday morning cartoons.
Big bowl of cereal, big like bowl of Captain Crunch or Lucky Charms.
Yeah. All right. I want to know how many of y'all were the remote?
Always. I'm the youngest. I'm the youngest of three kids, so yes, I was the remote. And then I got yelled at for changing the channel too fast on the dial. That you're like, stop, you're going to break it.
Well, you know where the channel is you want. That was the point. So why are you going to go click, click, click? Just go.
Like, look, if you don't like the way the remote works, then get a different remote.
We made sure we were out of the house if, you know, during certain times.
Saturdays.
But on Saturday morning cartoons, man, my mom pretty much let us take over the TV in the living room.
3 hours.
Till dad and got up. And then Dwayne, you had to give it
up. Dwayne and I fighting over what channel to keep it on.
Yeah. Until I watched Saturday morning.
We got our own TV, but, you know, we got our own TV. We didn't get color TVs. We got those little bitty, you know,
black and white
TVs for our bedrooms and stuff. But, you know, we wanted to play Nintendo on that stuff in color.
I played Nintendo on a black and white TV in my bedroom. It made it tough to play.
Well, I played Atari 2600.
I had that
on black and white TVs.
Hey, my first system was the VIC 20. Where I had to actually either put a cartridge in that was pre-programmed, or I had a book this thick that, you know, binder book, and you open it up and you finally see, oh, there's the programming for Zorg. It's about 7-8 pages deep. Binary code on both sides of the page, and you got to start with a 0 or a 1, and then you got to put that whole code in off every freaking page, and if you screw it up, you got to start it over because you can't figure out which one you put in bad.
Back then, they didn't even have personal computers. That was one of the first personal computers, the VIC-20, you know. And then yes, you had the Commodore 64 and 128.
The Commodore 64 obviously was after the 20.
And then the 128
was after the 64.
And then Texas Instruments had the TI-99-4A, which I still have mine somewhere in this closet, I think.
And then they came out with Pong in the first console.
Well, I had that. I had Intellivision. I went through ColecoVision, Atari 2600.
Yep. I had the Odyssey too.
I started out with the VIC-20. Then my dad got us a Montgomery Ward's cartridge Pong game set up. We had that for a while. Then I got an Atari 2600. And then I got the ColecoVision after the 2600 with the connector so I could play the 2600 games.
Yep. I remember.
So I had the whole ColecoVision set up.
I had the Smurf game. I had BC's Quest for Tires, Adventure.
Back then, though, you know, the way computers and technology advanced, back then, those computers that would run.
Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
That weren't made for like home use.
Yeah.
They would take up a whole room.
Oh, yeah. The very first computer took up like an entire room.
I mean, right. So I used to go downtown when I'd come to Madison and I'd have to meet my stepmother where she worked, and she didn't get off work till midnight. So she worked at the state office buildings. So I played two games on those computers. One was called Hunt the Wumpus, believe it or not. And the other one was called Zork.
I seem to recall Zork. That name sounds very familiar. But just think about how big those computers were. And now we have these things.
I know. You can hold a computer in your hand and put it in your pocket.
You have more technology, more power on this than they had on the computers that sent the first thing to the moon. Up.
Exactly.
Imagine that.
But see, when we grew up in that time, that was Timber Joy.
I'm like, I hear.
She's a purebred Siberian Husky.
Wow.
7 years old.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I have a scar right here from a Siberian Husky when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, I've got one right here now.
Oh.
She got me good a couple of times, but this last time she put quite the scratch down from my tear duct.
I had 7 stitches over there. And the top set of teeth went right here.
Ooh.
Ouch.
So like mere centimeters away from my eye, so that would have been.
I just got that from her being excited, and she's got some claws, you know.
No, this was a bite. The dog was not happy that day.
Aww.
They just put up a fence between the 2 yards, so his whole roaming area got cut in half. Plus, he had a rash on his back that I didn't know. I went to pet him and
set him off.
Yeah, and then I was in the hospital getting stitches.
Okay. She's just gonna go and watch us on YouTube and then write in the comments there. Or not YouTube, but Facebook. Write in the comments over here. Every time I try to get her on there, it would it'd say that it needs to needs her to sign in.
Huh. Sign in to what?
To StreamYard.
That don't make sense.
That's why I said I'll deal with it afterwards. All right, Joe. I went in here so I could share it, and I don't have a share link on here.
Why don't you have a share link on there?
It says like, comment, and send.
Yeah, I don't know why that did that. You mean on Facebook?
Yep, I'm on I went to Facebook so I could share our page with this show. If for some reason it says send and not share.
So that's strange.
It is.
Facebook is a very quirky thing.
Yeah, it did that to me too.
Mark Zuckerberg sucks.
It happened. No,
it's not Zuckerberg. It's Suck-a-Turd.
So I don't know why that happened. So, matter of fact, this doesn't even look like it's showing up on my page anymore.
Well, it showed up on mine. I clicked refresh, and now it's gone.
Well, we know you have at least one person watching because Janet has been the one commenting.
Yes. And Lisa should be watching now too. So,
how many people does it say you got watching up there?
Two. Well, I got it now, but I don't know why the hell
the share. And it's not showing share here. It says like, comment, and send.
Yeah.
Oh, Lisa.
I don't know what happened there. But it's in that retro review group. It's in there live.
And are you able to share the link from the retro review group?
No, I was just looking. It won't let me share it. Yeah, it's got, like he said, like, comment, and send. I'll have to figure that out. It's probably a setting.
It could be a setting.
Oh, you know why? Is it? Did you make the group private? Yeah, you did. That's why. If it were an open group, you'd be able to share. The share option would be there. That's why you don't have it. So, yeah.
Yeah, but it should have been on my main page.
Yeah, also. But anytime we do our Friday show, it shows up on my page.
Right.
After he shares it, shows up on my page with the share button.
Oh, here it is. Somehow. It showed up on Things Network.
Oh, okay. I didn't even think to look there. Yeah, because their group isn't private. It's open.
Right.
Yeah, you can share it from there. Yeah, because it
goes to Things Network page, too.
Yep. Oh, my God. I just went there to Things Network, and it did like a, like a, almost like a screen capture as the thumbnail of us, and my face looks really weird. I look like I'm taking a shit.
There we go. It's okay. I'm cool. She got in. Now she's watching.
All right.
Yeah, she's watching though.
Now where'd we leave off?
I don't know. I remember something about Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We were talking about that.
Bowl of cereal.
And you get basically you sit there for about 3 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe and then you go out, and we don't want to see you until dinner.
Depended on what time you wanted to start watching those cartoons.
Right.
Well, yeah, but the really early morning
some of them would come on at 6. Yeah. Some of them would come on, you know, then we'd have that block that came on at 7. And then I think the 7 through 10 block was actually the best.
And I watched those Saturday morning cartoon lineups until I was like 14. So that was like 89. So I was in the genre of even watching like Pee-wee's Playhouse and things like that. I mean, it was great. And I never realized the entire time I was watching that show that it was Cyndi Lauper singing the theme song. Really? And when I listened to it again, I was like, oh my God, it is her.
She was like a megastar in the 80s.
Yeah.
I love
Cyndi Lauper. I mean, she was everywhere. She was part of the. She even did the what was known back then as Rock and Wrestling Connection.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She because her and Captain Lou Albano
and all of that.
Yep.
All right. Yep. Well, you lost me, Joe.
That was my first redhead crush, actually.
And boy, did I mean people were like, I think they played her video early on. When MTV came out.
Yeah. It was,
you know, video amongst a lot of those other big, I mean, it's just the way she was.
Yeah.
One of the best movies out there, Goonies.
Goonies was a great movie.
Now they can't remake that one.
No,
they better not.
That's one that should be considered non-touchable.
They should all.
They should not. That. Yes, but that one in particular should be considered non-touchable. That one should not be touched for any reason.
Like and even they, TV and, shows aren't safe.
But you know, compared to some of the cartoons I've seen in the modern day, man, them kids really missed out because they fucked up. I mean, the cartoons we had when we were kids.
Oh, dude.
Oh man, they rocked.
Hey, you remember the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon?
Yes, I do.
That was an awesome show.
And that one inspired me to become a dungeon master.
It was my first introduction to Dungeons and Dragons, and then as a teenager, I met somebody that was a DM, and then he taught me how to play, and I did that for a few years. And
we had a pretty good sized group. We had about 20 different people that were into the D&D in my area, and we would put games together on the weekends. You know, weekend nights, Saturday nights, we'd put games together. We usually have 6 to 12 people in one sitting.
Wow.
And we pretty much play all night long.
I kind of ducked out not long after they had the, a couple of years after they did the introduction of the vampires and stuff. What was that called? Ravenloft? Right. Something like that. It was based off of novels that were Dungeons and Dragons.
But, yeah. I think I know which one you're talking about. It was.
And my last character was a psionic, and then I just stopped because then I was like, you know what? Why am I here doing this when there's a party going on in the woods with a keg? I'm going over there.
Yeah, that's kind of how it happened with me. Is once I got to that age. To where, when I was 15, I was actually buying alcohol and cigarettes and not getting carded.
Yeah, I was a stoner back in the 80s.
And that's because when I was 15, I was able to grow one of these.
It wasn't until I was about 16, 17.
And it wasn't patchy. It wasn't patchy.
Mine was.
It was thick. It was black. It was there.
It took until I was 17 for the mustache part to connect to the beard part.
Nope. I was 15 years old. My mustache, beard, everything connected.
But so, I had the long hair, so they just thought I was old, you know.
Yeah, and I had hair down to my ass.
I mean, I just recently had long hair too.
And now I've got this. Just
got it cut off. It's now all gone.
No, but see, I used to have hair down to my butt when I was younger. Now I've got this.
Now it's creeping down to your butt. It's going away from your face and down to your butt.
Yep. It's creeping like Creeping Charlie.
Not mine. I still got full head. No gray.
We're talking everything, Lisa. We're talking everything. She asked if we're talking kids or teenagers.
You know.
He's got hair coming out of his ears, huh?
Back then, I mean, we had it made. You know, you got into a fight with somebody in high school. Mano a mano. There was no knives, no guns brought to school.
No guns. You didn't have four of their friends jumping your ass.
No, yeah, that was the only thing you had to worry about.
If you had a good crowd, they would walk your back.
They'd watch your back for you.
Nobody'd interfere with the fight, you know. They got me into trouble once doing that, but, you know, I didn't want my brother to look bad saying, oh, you know, big brother had to come and save your ass, you know.
My big sister had to come and save my ass when I was a kid.
Well, I didn't do it.
Like, oh, my God, his sister, come on.
I stood there and watched my brother get his ass kicked.
I fought my own battles.
I just stood there to make sure nobody else interfered because the slime ball that he was fighting, you know, was a slime ball. So, you know, who knows?
Jeez, I feel like I missed out. I didn't get any fights. I was sweet and innocent.
Well, I was a dorky little kid, so everybody picked on me. I was a skinny, scrawny little dorky kid, and I got picked on constantly. And that's why my sister would always come to the rescue. But then, I mean, once I got to a certain age, it was different. You know, puberty kicks in and stuff like that. And now all those people that used to pick on me, they're nothing. And here I am on YouTube, and I got almost 2,000 subscribers. And where are they?
They're some of your subscribers.
They probably are. Here.
Well, no. Here's the thing on that, though. I mean, when I was in school, I was the quiet one. I was the smart one. Fifth grade, I was rocking out my mathematics and science lessons. I was literally in fifth grade. I was literally tutoring high school kids for their entry math exams for college.
Not me.
And then I had two bullies in the school that decided they wanted to pick on me. Well, one of them I actually kicked his ass, and then after I kicked his ass, we were going over to the high school where his brother was, and everybody's trying to put the fear of his brother in me, and his brother actually congratulated me for kicking his ass.
his brother was probably sick and coming to his aid.
His brother actually, because on the bus driver put this kid behind him and put me all the way at the back of the bus. When his brother got on, he looks at him and he goes, "What happened to you?" And he was whimpering and telling him that this fat kid back here kicked his ass, all this and that. So his brother comes back, walks up, looks at me, sits down next to me, looks over and goes, "Did you kick my brother's ass?" I said, "Yeah, I did. And I'd do it again if I have to. What of it?" You know, I was still pumped from it.
He's like, "Here's 20 bucks. Do it again."
Yeah. He looks at me and goes, "Good job. He deserved it." So yeah, after that I got a reputation. Any of those, you know, weaker kids or the ones that were more quiet and didn't want to deal with anybody, if they got picked on by the bully, they'd come to me and be like, "Hey, can you help us with him?"
Yeah, I got picked on because I was
$5.
I was weird and stuff, so I got picked on because of that. Like, I was the same person I am today. I'm always trying to be funny, cracking jokes, doing impressions, stuff like that.
He does impressions of your favorite cartoon, Mark.
Which one?
Rick and Morty.
Oh, you mean like Rick and Morty? And you know what, Morty? Why do you gotta be such a little bitch all the time? I mean, I don't know, Rick. I mean, I don't really think you should call me a bitch, you know, especially since we're on a cartoon and kids are watching us. You know what? I really don't care, Morty. I don't care.
I just pulled that out of nowhere. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not doing like any shows that they did, except for when Nick's around and it's Pickle Nick. Hey, look at me. I'm Pickle Nick.
Oh,
why would you turn yourself into a pickle?
Because I can, Morty. That's why.
You ever notice on that show that when they're in the garage and you see the rack behind them, there's this box sitting there that says time travel stuff, but probably. you never see them time traveling.
No, just dimension traveling.
Yep, they jump dimensions, and that's about it. I think there was an episode that Rick explained why they didn't time travel or something like that. Because once you fuck up the timeline, you can't fix it or something.
The last time that I time traveled, I started off as a single guy who didn't have any kids, and now here you are. So, you know, I don't do it anymore because I don't want it to happen again.
Oh, Lord.
I screwed up the timeline, Morty. That's what happened.
Oh, man.
Of course, and back then, course, then there was no Rick and Morty, so I wasn't.
No, back then, back in our childhood, there was no Rick and Morty. No. Think about this: if we had a cartoon, if we would have had cartoons like Rick and Morty back then. What do you think our lives would? Well, Beavis and Butthead was back then. They were like early 90s.
Early
90s, but
they actually started in the late 80s, but they didn't have their own show until the early 90s. Because there was a show on MTV called Liquid Television.
Right. Yeah.
And Liquid they started television. On there.
Yeah.
And they sounded a little different, but it was still Mike Judge doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, and not only did Beavis and Butthead spurn from that, but then King of the Hill did, too, kind of, even though it's not the same character, the same voice.
Mr.
Anderson.
Anderson, yeah.
Now I caught these boys a-whacking in my trailer. Now I'll tell you what. That boy ain't right.
Yeah. Lisa's right on that. Simpsons started on Tracy Ullman.
And they looked way different when they first started.
Oh yeah.
They looked weird.
They were even different colors. They weren't even the yellow like they are now. They were a different kind of a more of a milky yellow than they are now.
I think it was just Bart and Lisa that still sounded the same. Like Marge and Homer sounded completely different.
But
you know, Homer was more like this and
break like some kind of record now where they are like the longest running animation series.
The Simpsons.
Yes, the Simpsons are. But they're also, it's kind of interesting because of all the conspiracy theories that popped up about that.
Yeah, they tell the future.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like once Family Guy came around, they weren't edgy enough on The Simpsons anymore. So I had to start watching The Family Guy.
Oh, I love The Family Guy.
Holy crap. Family Guy.
We've got a picture.
American Dad.
Isn't that where that picture got compared to?
Nope. That picture, when we were at your house,
it was me and you.
That was King of the Hill.
That's right. They were
that was supposed to be the four.
Oh, you guys were having beers by a fence?
No, we were in front of his garage. We were
in front of the garage.
Yep.
Yeah, it was
Boomhauer was a weird character.
Dwayne, Mark.
It was Joe
Dean and me.
And your cousin.
Dane
Killerling.
All right.
Oh, dang.
That was one of those cookout deals.
Yep. That was a few years ago too.
But you know, I know you live in like Philadelphia, right, or something.
I sure do.
All right. You grew up there?
Yep. Born and raised.
All right. And Mark,
I don't have a heavy Philly accent. There's no like Rocky Balboa, you know.
How many arcades were in your neighborhood growing up?
In the neighborhood, not many, but the one there was a mall that's not that far. As a kid, it wasn't walking distance because I'd get in trouble if I went up that way.
I'm not talking about the ones in the mall. I'm talking just standalone arcade.
They were only in the malls here, really, you pretty know, much.
It could be like a strip mall. You know, but
they were only in the malls out in Cali.
I mean, I had been to quite a few in my time, but they were all inside of malls, like or a strip mall, like an outdoor mall, basically. They had them. We have one here that it still exists to this day, as it always has. An outdoor mall.
Some of them. I wish some of them around here really existed.
We got three of them. We got three of them in Madison.
Yeah, but they're not the same. They're not.
They're retro arcades. They have the pinball machines. No, they have the cabinets.
Just give me a chance before I get to that point. You know, back in the day when I was a kid, that you had a lot to do. All right. These retro arcades, yeah, they're making those arcades are making a comeback. I get it. But it's not the same.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, when you would walk in,
the same feel. I mean,
walk in with that, the sounds and the smells and the
everything. Yeah, everything. Right. He's get, you know, Tom's got it.
Yep.
And they, you know, and they had the same carpet in those damn arcades that they had in the roller rinks.
Yeah. Or the movie theater.
Yeah.
Or the movie theaters. I think the arcades, the movie theaters, and the roller rinks all got together and said, let's make a bulk purchase of this carpeting and we'll put it in every place that we have.
Well, but if you were lucky, you got to go to one that had neon colors in it, but they also had black lights along the ceiling.
Yep. We had a roller rink near me out there in Cali that had that set up. They had the neon coloring in the carpet with a black with the main color of the carpet was black, and then it had all the
neon shapes.
Had the speckles in it, yeah. And it had the neon squares, triangles, rectangles, all this other shit in there. And then they had black lights that they'd turn on during business hours for everybody, and it was all in that one area. And then they had that one section where you had about five or six different video game machines.
Yep.
So you had that part there, and then you had the grill, you know, the grill thing there where they had like the hot dogs and the pizzas and stuff like that. Yeah,
little hot dog rollers and
yep.
Don't forget the disco ball.
Yeah. No, that was out on the over the rink.
Yeah. I mean,
I do not know why, but every freaking roller rink I've went to, their floors are not completely smooth.
No, there's always little bumps in there from like pieces of gum and stuff like that caught in there. And
Yep.
But yeah, we had an arcade here, like the most epic arcade I was in. We have a mall here that used to be called Franklin Mills Mall. It's now called Philadelphia Mills, but it was called Franklin Mills after Ben Franklin and stuff like that for the area. And it was the longest mall in America. It was over a mile long, and it was shaped in a lightning bolt because of Ben Franklin, you know. And in the middle of that mall, they had this huge arcade called the 49th Street Galleria. It was like they had a pinball pit, like a huge pinball pit. Oh, they had every game you could think of. They had roller skating, bolt, laser tag, all kinds of stuff. Now, this is the 90s. Or no, we'll say the mall opened in 87. So it was late 80s, early 90s. And it was the best place in the world to go because like any game you wanted to play was there.
Yeah.
Whether it was like old ones, new ones, pinball, analog type things, or like the, you know, regular video games. I mean, everything was there. But I never had money going there, so I never got to play a lot. So I just went there and walked around, and then I eventually met some friends there by the time I was like 16. And of those friends, that's where I met my girlfriend back when I was 16. She was 14. I was 16. That was my second major redhead crush. And I never said anything to her about it. Now here we are years later. So an arcade essentially brought us together.
Yeah. Well,
all us metalheads hanging out back.
I got a story. I'll tell you someday. Because I was talking to somebody. If she ever shows up on here, she'll be able to verify that story.
Oh yeah, she was supposed to show up tonight. What the heck?
Yeah, she's with her dad.
Oh, okay.
So
there you go.
You know, but it was somebody I went to high school and went to some of those arcades with back then.
So, yeah, arcades were great.
But see,
oh yeah, they were fun as hell.
Now here's the big difference. What was the fashion like when you were a kid?
Well, for me, it was different than everybody else because we didn't have a whole lot of money. So, you know, I wasn't able to have.
His was the hand down.
Yeah. Well, we so also had this guy that would come around. We called him Harry the Hat. His name was Harry, and he had this business where he would go around in this big cargo van, and he had all different kinds of clothes, and he would have them for cheap, but you could also just get it on credit and like pay him back and stuff like that if he knew you. So I always got like severely generic clothes. Mm-hmm. And you can see that as I was growing up in my school pictures and stuff like that. But I, you know what? I didn't care. I didn't care until I started getting teased for my sneakers and stuff like that, which, I mean, that happened even in grade school.
Yeah, that was so, that was quite the fashion back then. That was like an important fashion back then.
Yeah.
The sneakers.
It wasn't until I became a teenager that I got the Nike high tops.
I couldn't wear
the three biggest.
I couldn't wear Nikes or Adidas or any of those like Reeboks. I'd wear them out within 30 days. They'd fall apart.
Yeah.
I'd have to go to Kmart and get the generic shoes for like $5.
Bobos, they make your feet feel fine. Bobos,
they last they cost for a nickel years. And a dime.
Yeah, that's how it was with me.
You know, I don't know what
See, girls didn't have to worry about that. Girls could wear generic shoes back then and get away with it and be fine. It was the guys that would hear it from the other guys.
No, for the girls, it was probably the designer jeans. Designer jeans, you know, that had the patterns on the pocket.
And they had to wear the designer jeans, but the jelly shoes.
Oh, those are comfortable shoes.
I think I remember seeing jellies with a heel, too. Yeah, that wasn't a big heel, but
right here.
Yep.
This is it.
This was
a big thing when I was in high school.
Why? Because
parachute pants.
Yeah.
Parachute pants.
Yeah.
Hammer time.
I wore jeans.
I've always worn jeans.
Levi button fly. That's what I wore growing up.
I couldn't wear those either.
When I was a kid, I had mostly hand-me-down.
Yeah, well, I couldn't have hand-me-downs. I don't have any brothers. I had two more sisters, so that would be
weird. I couldn't have any hand-me-downs. I didn't have any sisters.
Yeah.
I had a problem when I was a kid, and it didn't matter how much I washed them or soaked them or anything. I had the stinkiest motherfucking feet in the world. Wow. And I tried different shoes, different socks. Nope. I could literally, after one day of wearing a pair of socks, I could pull them off of my feet, throw them against the wall, and they'd stick.
Should have tried wearing deodorant on your feet.
I tried everything, and it didn't help.
Dryer sheets.
But then finally, when I was about 14 or 15, I think it was, I wound up finding a brand of shoe called BKs.
BKs, British Knights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, Joe, he knows what they are.
Bite me. I always bought generic shoes because expensive shoes, I'd go through them so quickly.
And when I got those, I don't know if it was because of their design, more airflow or what, but it helped with my the stitch of my feet. I stopped having bad odory feet.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think I had a problem with that, really. Not that I know of, and nobody told me.
But of course, also back then, everybody in our groups wanted Nikes or Adidas or Converse. The Converse jean shoes, those were the ones that were really, you know what I'm talking about, right? They're you know, most of the high tops were stiff. Converse made one that looked like a freaking jean.
Yeah, they were like denim color, but it wasn't denim, really denim.
They were like a denim color, but they weren't the stiff high top. They were a really flimsy, loose high top.
Yeah, I had a pair of high tops that were like aqua colored. They lasted me all of about a month. And then the sides started to fall apart. I was like, what the hell is this? I finally get a pair of Converse and I get a month out of them. I mean, the generic shoes I had that looked like Adidas, but they only had two stripes instead of three, they lasted me like 3 years.
Yep. I think right after I stopped, because when I was in Oregon, I was on track because they wouldn't let me on football. But I did track and basketball. But my senior year, I didn't want to do that stuff. I had other things in mind to do. But I stopped wearing I used to wear high tops all the time, but I stopped wearing tennis shoes altogether pretty much.
You had
your year. I was wearing cowboy boots after that.
You had other things in mind.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Damn it, Beavis, shut the hell up.
Hey, I'm for Julio.
I need teepee for my bubble.
I need teepee for my bubble. You have teepee?
Are you threatening me? Oh, wait, I have a hood, so I can actually.
Oh, Lordy.
Again, more 90s stuff, but, you know.
I know.
Oh, and going back to the horror topic of the 80s and 90s, or 70s and 80s, I've had the opportunity to talk to a couple of horror icons from that on a show that I do with my friend Dom. We call it Dom and Tom's World. Go figure, Tom's World. We got to talk to Betsy Baker and Teresa Tilly from the original Evil Dead. We got to talk to Sandy Johnson from the original Halloween movie, the Michael Myers' first victim, his sister.
Oh.
I mean, these things, when they can't, and we talked to a couple other people in music and movies and stuff like that, but like those, by far, especially the Evil Dead women. Oh my! It was like days before my birthday last year when we talked to them, and I was so giddy. And me and Dom had talked before the show, and I said, somehow, we have to see if we can get Betsy Baker to do the laugh that she did when she became a deadite in the Evil Dead movie. And I was so excited, I completely forgot about it. But Dom remembered, and the laugh came up, and he went, now, Betsy, he said, can you still do that laugh? I have a clip of it I can bring up. And you could see the excitement in my eyes and my actions when she does that laugh. It is, I was in heaven. I said, man, best birthday present ever. My girlfriend saw that, and she went, really? Oh, really? I have to see if I can. I know it's on the BB3 YouTube channel. Let's see if I can bring it up.
Yeah, sometimes it's fun to meet your idols, and then other times when you meet them, you're like
a little disappointed.
Yeah, or extremely disappointed. Like, you know, I didn't get to meet her. I didn't get to meet her per se, but I was like right outside where they were filming, and she comes out and she gets ushered into a limousine and she takes off. But her co-star sits there and talks to people and signs autographs for a while.
Evil Dead, Army of Darkness.
There you go.
I'm talking about Julia Roberts.
And yeah, Jill's talking about Julia Roberts.
So
Roberts.
There they are. Teresa Tilly, Betsy Baker.
Oh, wow.
You just make it work. Becky, can you still do that laugh? No, you don't have to. I'm just asking. Can you still do it?
Can she do that laugh?
My entire week was just made. I was so happy. I really was.
This fuel.
I mean, just being able to talk to them and everything, and now I have their email addresses, and I can email them anytime I want to.
That's cool.
That is very cool.
And we just happened to by chance be able to do that. I was like, oh my god, I can't believe they're going to be on our show. How great would it be if, like, all of a sudden Bruce Campbell was in the comments? Oh my god. I would lose my friggin' mind. He wasn't. But
I
that
Bruce.
I'd have been like, dude, you need to come on right now. I love Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. He's pretty good too. He is a good actor.
and he said he will never do Ash again. After Ash versus Evil Dead got canceled, he said, I'll do them in video games or if there's a cartoon or something, but no more live action Ash. I said, well, that's a bummer.
Well, it sucks too because he was good. So, Joe, how long is our skit on here?
An hour.
We're at that.
You can do this 2 hours?
Yeah. No.
Damn.
Maybe things will change.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I know.
Yeah.
These live shows constantly always just go.
I got to end it.